everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the sole place they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, yes.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Dominate the guy you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, the 2012 preseason extravaganza. Tom, we're back again breaking down the linebackers. What do you got?
You know, what can you say, man? Last year, everyone was saying that we had the best three starting linebackers in the country because of our 3-3-5 scheme. I mean, Dante Hightower and C.J. Mosley and Courtney Upshaw? You can't get better than that. Take nothing away from this year's unit, but you cannot take better than that. There has to be a drop-off.
Oh, without question, there's a drop-off. I think, again, we have, you know, we've talked about this relative to other positions. We have a sensational stable of talent, and I think we're going to have some fun talking about some of these individual players. But when you start piecing them together into a starting unit, there is going to be some drop-off. One of the things, and I'm going to try not to harp on this as much today as I have in the past, but when we look at our two best linebackers, and you look at kind of all everyone's preseason watch list, just every one of them have Nico Johnson and C.J. Mosley, and I would look at our roster of linebackers and say, you know, they're right at the top. I still continue to find it ironic that we may run defenses in which our best two linebackers are not on the field at the same time.
No, that is funny. And when you think of Nico for a second, you know, we've talked about the Alfred McCulloughs and we've talked about the Nick Gentrys. You know, we do want to say that Nico Johnson, hey, we're glad you're here. You're one of those guys. We've spent these other shows talking about these guys that we've lost. Well, he's a guy that we haven't lost, and he's a guy that has been willing to play behind a Dante Hightower and not be the guy because of the scheme, because he didn't have the speed to cover like a C.J. Mosley, and he doesn't have but 16 career starts in his career. But I expect good things from him. He's not going to be a Dante Hightower, but I think we're gonna there's going to be quiet in the middle. We're not going to be concerned about him. He's going to be able to make the play calls, and we're not going to be sitting there squinching, you know, damn, I can't believe he did that.
Oh, I love me some Nico Johnson, and I wish I could remember the specific episode, but I know that you and I spent some time talking about him. It was later in the season when he had to step in and play a little different role when Mosley had some time off. But I think we both agreed at the time that Nico Johnson is one of those guys. He's a quiet contributor, and he's one of those guys that we're so nuanced in personnel groupings and how we run our defense that he very well is one of those guys that is likely to have a better pro career than he has a college career.
Just yes, and you notice though when he had to step up and play more when Mosley went down, you and I talked about it wasn't like the light came on, but he started playing with a different level of intensity once he knew he was going to be in there more during the game. And I hope this continues this year.
Yeah.
He played differently toward the end of his season last year.
Yeah, he did. And I think that, you know, the light switch, if you kind of use that analogy, I think it's on for him. I think
I'm the guy now.
I'm the guy, and I'm going to contribute. And I'm kind of taking the mantle, if you will,
yes.
From a Dante.
Yes.
From a,
I've got
from
to carry the torch.
And I have some experience where I've stepped into a role that maybe was uncomfortable and I had some success. And so I think he carried that into his offseason workout. He just looks like a monster when you see him in fall camp. And he's a guy that I think is going to be a very steady contributor. Again, I still think it's ironic that our best two linebackers are not on the field at the same time. But
they will be more this year, I think.
Maybe a little bit more. But let's talk about some of the other guys. You know, I like me some Trey DePriest. Adrian Hubbard had a huge A-day with three sacks. Xavier Dixon has had some success. Where do you see some of these other guys shaking out?
Well, you're higher on Trey DePriest than I am. You know, we only had seven true freshmen contribute to last year's national championship team. It's pretty cool that two of those was Trey DePriest and Xavier Dixon. I am way high on some Xavier Dixon. Adrian Hubbard, I was shocked at how he played in the A-Day game and his versatility of being able to rush the passer and go catch a running back out of the backfield and drag him down from behind. And he was on the left side of the ball and made a play in the right, you know, going around the right end. I mean, his motor surprised me. But Xavier Dixon, he's a Courtney Upshaw a couple years from now. Yeah, I'm really high on him.
Yeah, he very well could be. I don't understand you not being as high on Trader Priest. I'm not going to challenge you on it, but last year as a true freshman, he seemed to really pick up the defense, which that in and of itself is a challenge, and he contributed. I think he's a guy that I think the sky's the limit in what Trader Priest.
Well, hold on now. I want you to challenge me on this. The reason I'm not high on him is because when C.J. Mosley went down and Trey DePriest, who was a true freshman, who should have looked like a deer in headlights, got thrust into that game and really didn't make any plays. So much so that he got pulled out of the game and Tana Patrick got inserted to try to play some of that third and fourth quarter. Well, and Trey DePriest from then on for the rest of the year, tell me something he did that really jumped out at you. Did he make a Vinny type of play? Did he make any big splash? Wow, I can't believe Trey just did that. I don't remember a play.
I think he was steady. He contributed. He never was taken out of the rotation. And as a true freshman, to always be in the mix, I think is something in a Saban defense. And I think he set a platform from which he will continue to grow. You mentioned to Tana Patrick, who's going to be a junior, who's not played.
Continue not playing.
Well, he's never contributed to a level that Trader Priest did last year. And if you look at a Jonathan Atchison, who was a highly rated recruit, he has never yet contributed to the level that a Trader Priest has already contributed. Now,
Trey will be a watered-down Nico Johnson. Trey will never do anything that wows you. He will never do anything that pisses you off because I think he will be solid. He will be where he's supposed to be on the field. But he will never do anything to me that will be like, wow.
Well, I want to take your money on that one because I think that he's going to be a juiced up Nico Johnson. If we're using Nico as the barometer, you're saying he's going to be less. I'm saying that by the time he's a senior, that he's going to be a little bit better than what we remember Nico from.
Now, I'm very high on these freshmen, Ryan Anderson and Reggie Ragland, by the way. I mean, they're not going to be able to see the field much, but, man, the position looks good going forward.
Well, if Ryan Anderson will quit beating up on our wide receivers, that I think that would be a good starting point. He's a guy that contributed in the spring practice. He was a highly rated high school linebacker coming in. He's a guy that's in the rotation. He's a guy that's going to play. Ragland, I'm more inclined to say that he redshirts.
Too much talent out there.
Well, there's just too much talent ahead. I agree. I think Ryan Anderson has a chance to sort of break through and contribute. And I tell you, the most fun thing to watch in some of the spring and some of the fall drills is Denzel Duvall, number 30. Boy, I catch myself looking at some of the pictures of him and thinking, oh, I thought Hightower graduated. Because he has a similar build. He's pounds lighter, I get it. He's a true freshman versus a senior. But he wears number 30, and he wears it well. He's thick. He's muscular. He just sometimes reminds me, when I look at some of the pictures, he reminds me of a Hightower. I so hope his play reminds me of a Hightower.
Well, we talked about this preparing for this show. I mean, what's interesting about those three guys you just mentioned is, just like you said, Saban wanted his 300-pound, 6'5", 6'6", 300-pound defensive ends. Saban's getting his linebackers. These guys are coming in 6'2", 240, 250 pounds. And that's why a guy like a Tana Patrick, just go ahead and get your graduate degree and call it a day.
Yeah, the guys that are coming in are huge. They're coming in like a sophomore or a junior or a senior in terms of their size. I don't see a Charlie Higginbotham on the list.
I don't think you're going to see one of those with the recruiting limits going forward.
No, I don't think so.
Until Mike Shula comes back.
Well, hey, I want to kind of poke at Tana Patrick again. He's a guy that came in, you know, Tana and Nico came in at the same time. Their careers have gone a little bit different
Just
ways.
A little bit.
You know, a little bit. I think Tana looks a little more robust this year. I think he's kind of got his head on straight. He's ready to he's ready to contribute. Do you share or not? Do you share my assessment that he cracks the rotation and he's a contributor this year?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
He will see the field less than Jarrell Harris, and that was not much.
Ooh. All right. Well, that's a strong statement there. I think that he does crack the rotation. I think he does see some reps. And I just want to give a shout out to a walk on that is. He looks like a beast when we see him in some of the images. But Josh Dickerson. I don't know that he's going to materialize if he becomes something, but. He may be a special team kind of demon kind of guy because he just looks like he looks like a player. We've had starting linebackers in the past that have not looked as talented or looked as buff as Josh. If he plays like he looks, then I think he's going to be a nightmare on special teams. So we'll see how that goes. My sort of general assessment on the linebacker core, though, as I look at them as a group, is that in the middle we're stacked. You know, we have a Nico, a Mosley, a Dupree, some of the young guys, you know, Ryan Anderson, Duvall. We're talented but young on the outside with an Adrian Hubbard, Dickinson, Atchison. And so that's...
No Courtney. There's your drop-off.
Yeah, you know, so I'm a little bit skeptical on this position just as, you know, we look better in the middle than we do on the edges. So we'll have to see how that breaks out. Let's put some of the discussion to the test. Who are the top... two tacklers from the linebacker core?
First is going to be... This is kind of easy. I mean, first is going to be C.J. Mosley, and second is going to be Nico, because I think they're going to be out there together a lot more than you do. I mean, I think that Nico plays the role that Dante did last year, and so I think that, you know, in the 3-3-5 that we see a ton of, we're going to see Nico and C.J. out there a lot.
Okay. I've got DePriest as the leading tackler from the linebacker core, and I've got Mosley as number two. So we're a little bit off there. I think you and I have varying opinions on DePriest, but we both like Mosley in terms of racking up some tackles. In terms of sacks from the linebacker core, I know we're going to have some divergence here. Where are you in terms of sacks from the linebackers?
Well, based on the A-Day game, it's got to be Adrian Hubbard first. I mean, if he can replicate what he did there, but no, I would say that as far as sacks go, man, if Adrian Hubbard gets the starting nod, I think I'd have to put him. Man, that's just tough to put an unproven guy up there first. Let me just say, first is going to have to be. I'll put Nico first, and I'll put Xavier Dixon second.
Oh, so you're taking Hubbard out of the mix altogether. All right.
Man, if he does like he did A-Day game, he's going to blow everybody away.
Well, if he has three a game, then there's a record somewhere that'll be broken. But I hear what you're saying. We're definitely going different directions on the sacks then. I am going Hubbard as the leading sack artist. I think with the size of our defensive line and his size coming off the edge, I think that he's the leader in sacks from the linebacker core. And
DePriest, really?
I'm going
really?
DePriest. I'm going DePriest.
Nico's not going to be it, but DePriest sure as hell is not going to be the sack leaders.
I've got DePriest, and so I've got DePriest as the leading tackler from the linebacker core and the second leader sack leading
goodness.
Sack artist from the
man.
Linebacker
I hope you're
core.
Right on DePriest.
So I think I have. I have him highly ranked, and you have him much less so. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully I'm right, and I know actually you would hope that I'm right too, because that means he's having success.
Yes.
For the good guys. Let's go very quantitative here. The confidence interval on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate the linebacker core?
I'm going to give them an 8. I mean, I feel very confident about Nico Johnson just being – just not making mistakes. I mean, we've got a big drop-off without Dante and Courtney, but CJ's, you know, if he can come back from that injury, if he can come back and continue playing like he did last year with Nico, I think we can find a third guy, whether it's Trey Dupriest or Adrian Hubbard or Ryan Anderson or whoever. We can plug in that third guy and be just as strong as any other linebacker core in the SEC. So that's why I give him a high eight.
And you're talking about Mosley coming back from his injury.
Yeah.
That was a gruesome looking injury on the field when he caught that interception and was kind of rodeoed down, and his leg was kind of bent and twisted the other way from near the top of the Superdome. It looked pretty gruesome.
He looked okay in the 8A game.
I'm glad it was just a popped hip, and I know that hurt like a mother, but popping that back in, and as opposed to a knee that requires some surgery and restructuring, and it looked like maybe his career was done if that was his knee bent that way. And so I'm glad that as we both shudder and turn pale thinking about it, that it wasn't that kind of injury. And so, definitely glad that he's going to be back. And he did look good in spring and so far in fall camp as well. I'm giving the linebacker core a 7.2. And so I'm being kind of precise there. It's just based on experience. We have a lot of experience on the inside. Kind of name some of the names. We're really young and inexperienced on the outside. And that has me a little bit nervous, because that's where we're going to get our juice. That's where we're going to get our spice from the linebacker position, is getting that pass rush on the outside.
Well, we've talked in the past about linebackers coming in for 10 snaps a game that can't control the edges.
Yes. And so if we struggle on those outsides, then that's going to be trouble. But I'm giving it a 7.2. You are scoring it an 8. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, the 2012 preseason extravaganza, breaking down every position. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.